afternoon? I'd like to see one back with us this afternoon. We'll go over our request from this morning. Don't have any to add to. Still remember Olivia we talked about this morning. Everybody knows she's had a car wreck. Still remember Lisa. She went to the doctor and said it was a bad sinus infection, so they're getting her squared away. And remember Brother Anderson. He is traveling today. So remember that.
Thank you.
Let's see. Sister Esther Smallwood, give me one that says, and I've already...
Sister Esther.
Ermal. That's right. Ermal, he's almost 91 years old, and he's having to take care of his wife, which has dementia and Parkinson's disease. So he's helped doing that and with the caregivers. So just remember the person there that's having to take care of his 91. He's 91, and I'm sure his wife is in that age. So just remember that situation. Also, she gave me one that says Ruth Scarborough. Her husband passed away, and while taking care of him, she also had a heart attack. So remember Ruth Scarborough also as we pray this afternoon. It's the only one I have. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling, Lord, that we have mentioned here. Remember Brother Anderson. We'll all be traveling next week, Lord. Just be with us and guide us. Be with the services here. Bless Brother Willie there, Lord. And give him strength and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, there's many people that we're trying to pray for, Lord, with our hands on this piece of paper that we have mentioned here that need a touch from you. Remember a special prayer for little Olivia there, Lord. Come down and bless her and all be well. All the other ones sick and all the older ones, Lord, that need a touch from you, come down and be with them and guide them. Be with us and guide us and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Sing that chorus.
Oh, how great.
Let's just worship the Lord.
Sing with me how. See how great.
Has God been great to you? Let's sing about that. First verse, the splendor of a king.
Oh, the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how. Our God,
sing that again, hallelujah.
Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Second verse.
Stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three are one. Oh, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the
afternoon. Sing that again.
Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all
name above all names. Oh, he's the name above all names. He's worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, he's the name. Think he's great. Amen. Worship him. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. We all have something to worship him for. To say how great he is. Amen. Sister Rebecca, I think you have a special with the girls. So come on up. Praise the Lord Jesus.
If it's your greatest joy his pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you.
It doesn't only matter to you.
If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Sound good together. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just sing this song, Greater Than All My Sins, as Bella gets ready for her special. Key of C.
Greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses me. Is the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater. That still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood.
It's ready to come. Let's sing that again.
Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. Is the greatest that sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one.
Thank you, Zoe. Thank you, Bella. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Michael, could you help us take up our offering? Amen. Appreciate those songs. Appreciate God's gifts. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
To come up. Let's just sing, Brother Willie preaching this morning about counting the cost. Amen. So let's just sing the song. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Brother Wade, you get ready to come.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
Let's stand to our feet.
Take up your cross every day. To say that you know Him, just count the cost, take up your cross and follow Him.
Once again, as Brother Wade comes,
oh, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow Him.
Good to see each and every one of you. Got a couple announcements I need to make real quick. Number one, we are inviting you to celebrate Lillian and Zachariah's wedding. I figure most of you go, who's that? That would be Lily and Zach. Okay. So Lillian and Zachariah are going to get married on November the 6th at 4 o'clock. Now, this will be on the website, and we'll probably try to post it up here, too. At 6226 Burris Mill Road in Cumming, Georgia. RSVP at, you'll see the, it's a big long site. So RSVP at this, they'll put it up here. Due to limited space at the venue, though, we respectfully ask no children under 15 attend, with the exception of the family. So if you're family members, then you can bring your children. If you're not, if you're just a member of the church here, then don't bring anybody below 15 because it's not a very huge venue, and we want to have enough room to have a wedding. That's the important part. Make sure you show up. But remember that. That'll be November the 6th at 4 o'clock. That'll be on Saturday. I think that's the first Saturday of November. I mean, November the 6th in Cumming. That's on Sunday? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We're doing it on Sunday. That's right. Oh, and we will only have one service that Sunday. We're going to have one service, and we're going to go to something happening at 4 o'clock. I don't know what that is. So anyway, I can go hunting on Saturday then. I thought we was married on Saturday. Okay, good. Sunday. All right, so remember that. That will be on a Sunday. Thank you, Sister Lily. Lillian, November the 6th, 4 o'clock. Just remember that. And we will post it, actually, on the screen. And it's on the website. Did Joe put it on the website? It's on the website already. So just look on the website. And we're going to celebrate a wedding.
Amen.
I told Zach, I said, just used to be in like 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 15th fiddle. Because that Sister Lily is going to bring Zach to church now. Instead of Zach bringing her to church. We got Sister Lily's going to bring whoever this guy is to church. So, thank God for weddings. I liked mine. It was good. So, been 43, it'll be almost 43 years, October the 6th. So, we're coming up pretty close. So. Also, remember, by way of announcement, Wednesday night I'll be speaking. Next Saturday is Bible study from 6 to 8. Here at the church, and we're still talking about the millennium and the future home now. 6 to 8 this coming Saturday will be Bible study. Also, Sunday we'll have communion and foot washing. And also remember on the 10th, September the 10th, at 7 o'clock, we'll have our prayer service on that Saturday night. We're going to open the building up just like we've done the last couple of times. Volunteer only if you want to come and pray. You just come and pray. No coffee, no cake, no talking, no fellowshipping. We're going to come here and pray because the next weekend will be our last youth service for the year, and Brother Ronnie Long will be with us that weekend. So we're going to have a prayer service on September the 10th, and come if you feel like coming. It's a wonderful time to come and pray and just talk to the Lord. Amen. That's what we want. We want to be able to talk to the Lord. Amen. Under the circumstances of the world, what they're doing now, let them have what they want. I'd rather at 7 o'clock on Saturday be doing that than anything the world's got to offer me. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 But Lillian and Zachariah is going to get married. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, and let's let Brother William Borlevon talk to the bride. Amen? Amen. All the bride. Let him talk to all of us. He did a wonderful job this morning, so let's just pull on the gift. And we appreciate Brother William, like I said, he's going to be here the last Sunday in March next year, and he's going to be bringing all the kids. And what a pretty girl! First time we met them, little Rebecca come running down the hallway. I'm going to tell on you. Come running down the hallway, and she was just so happy to see me and Sister June. Stayed with them for about every time we were there, I think. And she cried when we leave. She cried. And I called Willie. I called Willie. I said, well, hey, we're home. About 6 hours later, I said, hey, Willie, we're home. He said, Rebecca's still in her bedroom crying because y'all left. So I asked her a little while this morning. I said, do you still cry? Are you going to cry when you leave me? And she said, I don't do that no more. She done growed up. She done got almost 13 years old in 10 days. She will be. So She's beautiful. Beautiful voice, and thank God for beautiful voices that will sing to the glory of the Lord and not this junk out in the world. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother William comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Certainly wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord. I absolutely love that song. You know, every time I hear it, even our own church, I always think of you all. And I really, really appreciate that. Amen. It makes me always also think of the seraphims and just how they're always holy, holy, holy to the Lord. You know, we're constantly, but you know, he really appreciates when the redeemed sing holy, holy, holy. That's really special to him because, you know, you can sing Amazing Grace. The angels of God can't even sing Amazing Grace. You think one angel could destroy the world, but yet they can't sing Amazing Grace. You can. Amen. So certainly good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening with you all. And certainly happy to have my daughter Rebecca with me this time. She came and trying to keep me straight. And certainly appreciate the specials from both specials. I tell you what, you know, there's such a difference. Whenever, you know, a country singer may sit there and try and sing these exact same songs, but it will not have the effect. But when these young ladies get up with that sanctified life and sing to the Lord, it certainly means something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm really, really proud of our young people. Amen. Amen. You know, even just young people just in general, you know, sometimes people kind of may dog them out and say, oh, young people, they're bad. You know, the worst case of young people that we may have in our message ranks all over the world is nothing compared to this world. We have wonderful young people. Amen. We're certainly thankful that we can point people, our young people and our children, to a living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. A message, the same message that gave you the new birth is available for them, and they're going to live the same overcoming life. As parents, we can get a little anxious, and my goodness, it's getting so bad, Brother Luis, where that, you know, compared to what we face, but the blood of Jesus is just as powerful for them. And they're going to overcome. And if there's another generation, this generation will show the world that Jesus Christ is alive and there's still a bride on the earth. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I won't take up too much of your time standing, but if you will, if you'll turn back with me, we'll just pick up the thought from this morning. Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 14. And we'll just pick up the same thought. And do you enjoy the word this morning?
Amen.
I really did too. Praise the Lord. You know, when a minister, whenever these brothers get up here and preach, a lot of times it's just as fresh to them as it is to you. And you're preaching to yourself. You really are. Amen. And then the days following, you begin to preach it back to yourself. And God's word is so good. Amen. In Matthew chapter 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In Luke chapter 14, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for these moments, Lord, of heavenly places that we can come into your presence. We ask that you just give us strength, Father, Lord. May you just open up our hearts to receive your word. We love you and we commit ourselves to you and ask you to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. As I was reading that text just now, you know, where it said that lest happily after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, or a king that sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able. So Jesus knew before the foundation of the world, he had to come to that hour and he had to make a decision if he'd go all the way. But he, before the foundation of the world, was the lamb slain for our sins, and redemption was a finished work. God, redemption is not a band-aid. Redemption is not God. Whenever Adam and Eve fell, God did not go in his medicine cabinet, as it were, or he did not go in panic mode that his children fell and he did not see it coming. He knew, and he already had redemption taken care of. Amen. He's that kind of God. When he leads you somewhere, when you get there, he's already got the grace sufficient for you. You may be going through something, you may be up against something, and you don't know how in the world am I going to ever get there, or maybe my children are out in the world and how are they ever going to come back? But God has the grace sufficient enough, and if God was able to save you and is able to save me, he most certainly can save anyone. Because you see, even though whenever you raise the message, it's easy sometimes to begin to look at things and you hear the word preached and you think, well, I never smoked, I never drank, I never did this, I never did that. The fact that you were born, and once you become to the age of accountability, you need just as much of the blood of Jesus as a drug addict on the street. It's just as much, because we know that sin is unbelief. So there's sometimes there's unbelievers in the church. So that is the real sin. So we, even though I was raised in the message, God has blessed, and that's a blessing. That is an advantage. But that's not a guarantee. We still all need the new birth. Amen. And the wonderful thing is that once, when Jesus fills you with the Holy Ghost, and you are saved, that does not diminish his power in the slightest bit. He's still just as powerful. He's just still as able to save and heal and fill to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. Aren't you so thankful for that? We don't serve a weak God. He's so powerful. He's so sovereign and he's so mindful. You know, it makes me think when Jesus, whenever Brother Branham, when he was fishing with them brothers and that little fish, and y'all know the story that was brought back to life. He said, how many spastic children in desperate situations, but God wanted, sometimes God does things like that. He'll do things that may seem so insignificant, or why, you know, why did God do that when there's this and that going on in the world? But God wants to show you that he's sovereign. You know, sometimes you can just have a little heart's desire and God will just fulfill that heart's desire, and it's something so simple. But he wants to show you that he cares about the little things. The things that, like they sang that song, you know, the things that actually bother you, it's important to him. It is very, very important to him. So we thank the Lord Jesus for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Thank the Lord for his love. So to pick up where we left off, we understand, and we spoke a little bit this morning about when Satan tried to get Jesus to take the kingdom by bypassing the cross. And that was a temptation to Jesus. And in the sermon here, How Can I Overcome? Brother Branham says, Satan offered to forfeit this kingdom to him. He did. Satan said, see the kingdoms of the world. These are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. But you remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it. Without the cross. If he did, we'd be lost. He could have took the kingdom. He was tempted to do it now. Death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. But if he did, his subjects would have died. So he loved you to the point to where he refused to take the kingdom without the cross, because then he would have the kingdom without you. And having the kingdom without his bride, without his body, is not, you're not complete. A man is not complete without the woman. Eve was literally a part of Adam. So Adam was complete when Eve was when Eve came to him, when she was taken from him and Eve was joined to him. That is when Adam was complete. And Jesus Christ is not complete. Think of this. Jesus Christ is not complete without the bride of Jesus Christ. She is his body. She is the queen of heaven. She will rule and reign with him. Now, in order to rule and reign, and this is the part we're going to get into, because if Jesus paid a price, he paid the price, and we now have access. But you see, you recognize when you read the crucifixion of Jesus, Jesus' body went through a lot. The body of Christ throughout the Gentile dispensation has gone through a lot, and he makes a way of escape, but there's a price for us to pay too. We don't just, Jesus didn't get crucified and pay that price that he did, and then we just walk in on a flowery bed of ease. It's paid for, and God sees the end, and the Holy Ghost is a seal and is given to you based on predestination, because you're going to make it. It is impossible that God gives someone the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the born-again experience in their soul, and then they fail. So God is not very concerned necessarily in what happens between the new birth and the actual rapture. You're going to make it. But that is where all the trials and the temptations of life are. And that is where the price, that's where we have a price to pay to carry this cross. But if he did, his subjects would have died. Satan would have gladly made that proposition with him, but he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't do it. Aren't you thankful he didn't do it? He come and he suffered and he took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. The hard way. Listen to what the prophet says here. Are we this morning willing to do, take the same route that he taken? Are we willing to die? Are we willing to give ourselves up to God, forfeit all the world and the things to serve for him? There's a price, because see, as an American citizen, you may have certain rights, which seem to be taken away all the time, but there's certain, theoretically speaking, there's rights that we have. So you may have a right as an American citizen to do this, to do that, to pursue this, to pursue that. But as Christians, we pay the cost and say, "Lord, is it your will that I go to college? Is it your will that I do this or that I do that?" That is a price that we pay. And sometimes when God closes a door, closed doors are just as much of a blessing as an open door. Because sometimes, you know, we use our free moral agency and we will make decisions and take the harder road, when if we would have taken God's perfect will, we would have come out a whole lot quicker, a whole lot better. Now, you're still God's child. You're still sealed. You're still on your way to heaven. But by our free moral agency, we can make the wrong choice because we don't pray about it enough, you see. So it's important that we seek God's perfect will. That is our desires. Lord, show me your perfect will. But sometimes God's not going to override our free moral agency, and he may be trying to show you his perfect will, but you still insist. So what's God going to do? God is a gentleman. Okay. I have my perfect will, but you take that permissive will, there's going to be extra briars, there's going to be extra rocks, and you're going to come out maybe a little hurt, maybe bruised, beat up a little bit, but God will watch over you. You're his child. He's obligated to you, but we want to take his perfect will. You see? So he said later in the quote, he said, "But what did he take the other route for? So that we could come be with him." Amen. Do you know in the scriptures in St. John 17, Jesus, throughout the gospel, Brother Luis, as you read, Jesus doesn't ask God for much. But when you, as you read St. John 17, he begins to ask God for things as he prays for future spiritual generations. And he even prayed for us in that chapter. If you haven't read that in a while, go read it. It's absolutely wonderful. But one of the things that he asked the Father for, he said, "Father, I will that they be where I am." That is a desire. Many times we think, oh, the coming of the Lord. We anticipate the coming of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus anticipates him coming to see you. He wants to see you, Brother Bob. We want to see Jesus, but he wants to see you. He's ready to meet his bride. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And absolutely, he's been busy and he's making it, just like, you know, Brother Wade announced about Zach and then Lily getting married and things. And, you know, the groom, as they get engaged to get married, he's trying to make everything perfect. He's trying to make everything to his liking, if at all possible and things. And that is an attribute within a man to get things ready for his wife, and that is an attribute from God. He is getting everything ready, and he already knows what you like. You know, it's going to be the anticipation is absolutely wonderful, but you know, maybe if you like a certain flower or you may like a certain things, right around where you will be them. It wouldn't surprise me if them very things are there, because he's very intimate. He's very detailed in things. You know, if he's detailed in creation and in the bugs and in the birds and the flowers, how much more is he detailed knowing what you like? Amen. So redemption has been paid for, but there's still a personal cost, and there's still a sacrifice that's left for us and for the believers of every age. Because, you know, serving the Lord does come with a cost, but serving the devil comes with a cost too. Serving the devil comes with a cost, and there's hell to pay for serving the devil. There's hell to pay for serving the devil. So Satan will make you think that, oh, serving God, you're going to be in such bondage, and you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and there's all these rules. No, there is freedom in the Holy Ghost. There's freedom in the Word of God. You really don't find your freedom. If it's still bondage and it's still commandments and it still feel like you've got bounds, well, you're not free yet. This Word frees you. This Word is when you've arrived and you realize your real freedom, that you are an eagle. It's the chicken, the one that's cooped up, or maybe that's behind fences or whatever it is, but you can't hold an eagle down. An eagle goes into the heavenlies. So don't let the devil trick you, especially you young people, into thinking that, oh, there's such liberty out in the world and you get to do what you want, but there's such confinement and you know, so many rules in the Word or at church. It's not rules, it's freedom. Satan is an awful taskmaster. You know, you think about it, that he will get the talents of the world. He will get the sports athletes or whatever, or Hollywood, or in any way, and he'll get them and he'll use them. And when he's done, they're just a nobody. But yet they're a trophy of hell, and Satan uses them, abuses them, and when they're done, nobody cares. He is an awful taskmaster. You don't want to serve someone like that. He is evil. Another example is the Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. So you think of how evil Satan is, that the fact that he knows hell was created for him, he knows he's going, there's no other way around it, so he will then try and get as many humans in that awful place as himself. That's the devil. But this Word is worth selling out to. So, but it comes with a cost. It may cost you some friends. It may cost you some relationships. It may cost you things, because, you know, Satan is very temporal, and that is the dimension that he works in. That is why, as long as someone is may look a certain way and he can use them in Hollywood and send souls to hell, fine, that's great. And then as soon as there's someone else coming along, he's done. You see? But you may lose some friends. So you may lose some relationships. That's why we should always choose a mate based on character. And we're taught these things. It's always what's on the inside. Because no matter what happens to the outside, the inside doesn't change. Only for a born-again Christian, it only gets better. And if you marry a true born-again Christian, marriage only gets better. The relationship only gets better. So, but it comes with serving the Lord Jesus does come with a cost, but it'll be so worth it. It's going to be so worth it. But Jesus said in Matthew 10:25, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they make fun of Jesus, of course they're going to make fun of you. If they make fun of this message, of course they're going to make fun of those who believe it. If they criticize the prophet, of course they're going to criticize the bride. It would be more strange if they didn't. So don't think it's strange, as James said, when fiery trials come upon you. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. But he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, God will not be outdone. You can have siblings, or you can have loved ones that you're naturally connected to and you love them and they're connected to you in the flesh. But yet there's a special connection with believers. By the way, whenever there's a real cream of the crop bride believer that you just feel so connected to, you know y'all come from the same Father. You know y'all, you know, from the foundation of the world, y'all are sons and daughters of God shouting for joy before the foundations of the world were ever laid. So there's a special connection. So sometimes it can be hard when a loved one or someone you're connected to is not serving the Lord. They can become kind of like a you get along and you love them, you know, and things. But yet there's not that true spiritual connection. But Jesus promised that he'll actually provide them type of figures for you. If you're the only believer, as I said this morning, in your family, and you may feel like you're the only one, and maybe your brothers aren't serving the Lord or your sisters, God provides you with brothers and sisters that you actually get closer to than your own flesh and blood. Because flesh and blood is natural, is temporal. There's a beginning and there's an end, and there's a natural genealogy. But once you realize that you're not the son and daughter of so-and-so, and we realize that we all have the same Heavenly Father, that gives us a special connection above anything that's natural. Because it can be hard. It can be hard to, you know, have siblings and they may not serve the Lord and you're burdened for them and you're trusting the Lord for them. But until then, you commit them into the hands of the Lord. But that don't stop you from serving the Lord. We don't just serve the Lord because our parents do, or because our siblings does, or because our husband or our wife does. We serve the Lord because we love Him. And if we're the only message believer left in this entire world, then I'm going to still stand on this message. And that's the kind of conviction that every person should have. Regardless of what happens, regardless if you can have, it's okay, it's wonderful to have respect. We all should for one another, for men and women of God. But it doesn't matter how much respect you have for someone. If that person falls, it should not shake your faith. It should not make you back up. It should not. It can hurt you. There's all the natural things that go with it. That's okay. But it should not shake your faith or make you question this message because brother so-and-so all of a sudden renounced it, or sister so-and-so, or whatever happened. Now, there is a cost. There's an emotional cost and turmoil that can come with it, but there's a cross that we must bear. There's something, there's a price that we have to pay. He made the way. He blazed the way. Brother Bob was talking about that fireman this morning. You know, he said, come on, boys. Jesus had already made the way. He tread the fierceness of the wrath and things. We're now walking in his bloody footsteps, but there's still some persecution. And my goodness, if you ever have some time and thumb through that Fox's Book of Martyrs, brother and sister, I tell you what, they paid a cost. They paid. Brother Branham, when he was even here and he was preaching, he would give credit to the different brothers and different ministries that went before his, that he said paved the way for his ministry. And every messenger had their own. When Martin Luther came on the scene, there were others that even went before him. They weren't messengers, but God had paved the way and worked through things, other great moves and men of God. But they paid a heavy price to even go to the stake for just translating the Bible, for saying, you know, Brother Wade mentioned communion. There were multitudes, brother, there were multitudes of people that were tied to a stake and burned alive because they refused to believe that this was the literal body of Jesus Christ. That a round wafer over that single thing. Transubstantiation or something. I'm trying not to hurt myself. That long really were where they literally take a wafer and they actually like translate it or change it to the body. By refusing to believe that, you'd be burned to the stake for that simple single truth that you stand for. It came at a great cost. It came at a great cost to you know, death to families and things. This gospel is dripping with blood. That is an old hymn, but this gospel is dripping with blood. It came at such a great cost. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to preach the message of this age. It's an honor and a privilege to believe it. It's an honor and a privilege to live it. It came at such a great cost. You know, many times we can get a little numb to that. We can just come to church, and we have fellowship, and we leave, and we go. We take a nap if you're over the age of about 25. And you know, you just take things for granted. But really, it came at a great cost for us to be able to do this. Even as a nation, to be able to gather with the religious freedom, it came at a great, great cost. So if things came at a cost for the natural, how much more for the spiritual? In Matthew 19, Jesus speaking, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, that's not just preachers, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. In a sermon, Forsaken All, Brother Ram said, but I want to say this too. God will not in no wise be in debt to any man. So you say, well, what does that mean? You do something for God, God remembers it. And God pays back with interest. God pays back. He said here in the scripture that he shall receive an hundredfold. There's no kind of bank account that will ever give you that. But you serve God and you do something. You do something for God. God remembers that. The Bible even says that there's a book made where every time those that spoke often and thought often in his name, there's a book of remembrance. Now, God doesn't just remember the good, but he remembers the sins of the great whore, the church. You look in the book of Revelations and all the sins of all that they did and all the Christians, God has not forgotten. That's why we see them souls under the altar crying, how long? At the right time, God is going to judge the great whore and her daughters. God does not forget. But back onto the believer's side, well, you do something for God, and God will pay you back in eternal life plus abundantly more. He says, if you have did that for God, forsaken all, God will repay you a thousandfold. Because God's not going to allow to be in debt to you. You do something for him, and he's not going to allow that to remain on him. That you did something for me, and I didn't do nothing back. Because remember, eternal life is living for others. You're always supposed to put others first. So when you do something for God, God remembers that. And he's not going to allow it to, and I pray this don't sound sacrilegious, but he's not going to allow the ball to be in his court. Whenever you do something for God, it's going to return right back to you, but a thousandfold. You may not always recognize it, but it will come back to you. And maybe years down the road, you're going to look back and say, my goodness, you know, God has been so good. And I believe every believer can testify this and say amen to this. But God has been better to me than I can be to myself. And that, and you commit your life to God and you pay the price that it takes to serve him. And you have to, like I said, let go of relationships and maybe do things that may be uncomfortable. And maybe you get made fun of and all these different things that come with Christianity, with a true Christian walk, because a true Christian doesn't blend in the world. A true Christian is going to stand out, and there's people that will respect that, and there's also people that will look down on that. There's people that will criticize that. But if you stand the persecution, then that is you're paying the price to be identified with the Lord Jesus. So he sees that, and he don't forget it. He not only doesn't forget it, but he'll pay you back. He will bless you for that. When you're the only believer in school, when you're the only believer in your workplace, and you stand for the truth, he will bless you for that. Both in this life and most certainly in the hereafter. Most certainly. He said, God will pay it back. You forsake the things of the world and the world and the things of the world, and God will repay you many times. Many times. And we're all witnesses of that in one way or another. There was a man, that rich young ruler that we all know about. Jesus gave him an opportunity. He was raising the message. We'll go ahead and bring it in 2022 terms. He was familiar with all the commandments. He didn't do wrong. He was raising the message, as I mentioned earlier. He didn't kill. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't steal. He didn't lie. He was a good boy. He honored his father and mother. He said, all these things I've done for my youth. But you see, Jesus knew his weakness. And Jesus went straight to his weakness and said, but one thing that you lack, sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. He knew his weakness. So whenever the rich young ruler, when he heard this, the Bible says he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And later in the scripture, we find where he lifted up his eyes in hell. He wasn't willing to pay the cost so it costs him. As I said, there's a cost to serving a God. But there's a real cost to serving the devil with no reward. The cost of serving God is life eternal. Fullness of joy and peace. In an age of insanity, you've got peace. In an age of insanity, you lay your head on your pillow at night with a clear conscience. But not the world. They can't hardly make enough pills to make the world cope. They can't do it. Jairus was a secret believer until death struck his home. You know, Jairus, brethren calls him that secret believer, and he believed on Jesus, but he wasn't quite fully committed yet to paying the cost until God knew how to get him. When death began, when his girl got sick and then she ended up dying, she made him come out, and then he was willing to pay the cost. He didn't care about the disfellowship. This message was brought and delivered at a very great cost. This message that y'all play right before y'all services, the message that's preached, the message y'all say amen, the message y'all love, came at a very, very high cost. A very, very high cost. You think when you listen to his life story, the mistake of him listening to his mother-in-law and what that cost him. You see, he couldn't change being the messenger of the age, but he chose to listen and what that cost him. But he did not change the fact that he was a messenger and did not change the fact that he was a born-again Christian or none of that. God was actually training him for a path and a work of total surrender and obedience. And God worked out for his perfect glory because he said that since whenever he's seen Sharon Rose with crossed eyes, which is unimaginable, he said every cross-eyed baby that ever came to the platform was healed because of what he went through. You know, whenever he would have to leave, and you parents, you know, you have little children. Can you imagine if the husband was gone for months or weeks at a time to go preach the gospel and you were left with the responsibility of educating, of raising, of feeding, you know, because there's got to be stability in a home. It's got to be father and mother together and things when things are right. So he would leave for weeks at a time and all that responsibility fell on her. So not only did he pay the price, but Sister Mita paid the price. So we can have this message. He would have to leave, you know, them crying, daddy, don't leave and all these things. He would have to stand and preach the truth and his friends would walk away. It's a blessing to preach to message believers. But imagine the closest friends you may have and imagine that you're having to preach against bobbed haired women and pants and all these things. And against Trinitarian baptism, and your best friends sitting behind you on the platform are Trinitarian preachers, and their wives, if they're not with them, they're sitting on the aisle, maybe in the front, and they've got bobbed hair and pants. But yet you can't help it, yet the Spirit is screaming out. And friends wouldn't understand. They'd walk away from him. But that was a cost that he had to pay. And that can make me even feel ashamed because preaching, we're blessed, brothers, to be able to preach to people that love the message and message believers. But Brother Aaron really had it hard going to denominational churches and things and to a Trinitarian church and have to preach proper deity of Jesus Christ. That came at a great cost. Other people in denominations and people cutting him off and not letting him come to countries and demons literally rising up in people and fighting this truth. But God will always vindicate his word. God will always vindicate his word. And if you're trusting even the Lord for a born again experience, you take him at his word and he has got to. He's obligated to meet you. If there's faith, there's God. God hears faith. That's what gets his attention. Is faith. In the recognizing your day in this message, Brother Ram speaking, if America could only recognize the Constitution that she drawed up, she wouldn't be willing to take the Bibles out of schools, take the name of God off coins and pledge allegiance unto God. But she doesn't recognize it. Why? She's blind, naked. She can't recognize the blood of those precious boys that died on the fields for this privilege. They have forgotten. They are forgotten. They are dust. But there's one who does remember the shed blood, shed of the blood of the prophets, the cost that it taken to bring the gospel to us today, how the thousands has been eaten by lions and thrown into dens, have been sawed asunder, burnt, crucified. God recognizes it. Yes, amen. Recognizes it. When you read the faith chapter of Hebrews 11, Paul goes through and he picks out certain heroes of the faith. And, you know, time wouldn't even permit him to go through there. But he said, without us, wouldn't be made perfect. They were looking to this very hour. They were looking to the fullness of things. Because we know the flame went from one age to another. So Wesley's work was built on Luther's, and the Pentecostals on Wesley's. And the message came after the restoration of the gift and tied up all the loose ends. All the loose ends. But we're living. Don't ever let the enemy try and push Bible days off as 1960s or back whenever. We are in the Bible days. In fact, I would be as bold to say, praise the Lord, I would be as bold to say that we're more in the Bible days in the culmination, in the climax of it than even they were. Because now we're coming to the rapture. That was just to get the people's attention. But now we've come to the opening of the Word, and God, the bride is in her revival while churches are dying. And on local levels, you can even find articles where churches are just dying. There's no more members. All the members have gotten elderly, and they can't come to church anymore. There's no young people. There's no youth. There's no one with a zeal for God, and they literally have to close down. But there's young people all throughout here. There's young couples, and there's middle-aged people. Why? Because there's a truth. There's life that gathers here. There were no, you know, free chicken soups or hot dogs or whatever at the front door to lure you in. It's this Word that brings you here. This is what we're feeding on. Not the mind of a man, not the personality of a man, not even the personality of a prophet that we love very dearly. But we're here feeding on the Word. We're not just feeding on creeds and dogmas and ideas, and we're not just passing down legends and stories. That's not what's calling out a bride. We need the same experience that Brother Branham had. The same pillar of fire. The same God. Because He's not the God of the I was. He's God of the I am. He's the I am, the present. But in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. You know, Simeon... The Bible talks about Simeon, and he was a very, very old man, as you all know, and he longed to see the Messiah. He was a real believer. He knew that the Messiah had to be, it was time. It was time that the Messiah come to the earth, and while all the other Jews were caught up in the Talmud and in other things, he was set looking for the Messiah. He studied the Torah, and he knew that it was time for the Messiah to come. And the Holy Ghost witnessed to him. He was an old man, but it was so close. The Holy Ghost witnessed to him that he would see the Messiah before he would die. So he then began to have that testimony, and you bet he paid a price. He paid a price getting made fun of, an old man. He's going to see the Messiah and things like that, because you know they were looking for a military leader. But when Jesus was 8 years old in Luke 2:26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, but before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So when Jesus, the custom of the law was at eight days old, they would circumcise the male. So at 8 days old, brand new, newborn baby, walking into the temple. Here you have an old man of 100 or very, very old, eyes dim, being led of the Spirit. Because Jesus looked like a normal baby. Joseph and Mary looked like normal parents. So while the other religious people in their society that day was making fun of Mary's baby, And trying to say of how, you know, it came to the world and mocking it and everything else. Here and staying away, because it was a great shame in there. And here you have Simeon going through, and he's being led of the Spirit, and he comes to a newborn baby. Because remember, he got there before the wise men did. He was already worshiping. He was already worshiping. So Simeon was able to see. And I believe there's a people on the earth today, that God has revealed that they won't see death. Amen. But they're going to see the coming of the Lord. There, I believe that we of course nobody knows how long he's going to tarry, but I believe that even if it's the young little ones, so that whoever will actually be part of the rapture, I believe they're on the earth now. I really do. I believe we're living that close. But how Simeon, whenever he seen Jesus, he seen and he worshiped Jesus, and he went to sleep with his fathers there. But how Simeon would have loved to have seen the miracles and the works of Jesus. How Simeon no doubt would have pointed people to Jesus Christ. How Simeon would have loved to hear Jesus preach and to teach. And how Simeon would have loved to have seen the empty tomb. Simeon would have been in the upper room. If Simeon would have been on the earth, he would have been a true believer that would have followed the message all the way through. And he wouldn't have just, you know, been part of the ones that maybe seen him go up and never make it to the upper room. He would have been there all the way. The disciple and Simeon would have loved to have seen this day. Amen. Simeon would have been a believer in this day. The disciples of Jesus would have loved to see this day. You know, they were expecting to see the kingdom come in power at that time. They couldn't see the grace coming to the Gentiles. They were looking. That's why they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They couldn't see the grace of God that was going to come in the seven church ages to pull out a bride. Because the Gentiles were pretty wicked people. The Romans were Gentiles. They were being oppressed by Gentiles. That's why you even read in the Old Testament, and Paul had trouble with Jews not wanting to be with Gentiles. There was great segregation, but yet God chose a bride out of the Gentiles. The Jews aren't bride. He chose a bride out of the Gentiles. If that's not Boaz and Ruth, I don't know what is. That actually Boaz went and took a Moabitess? Really? A Moabitess is now the wife of Boaz? Boaz was a respected man, and Boaz was a rich man, and Boaz was a wise man, and all these things. And now, at all the virgins in his area there, he went and took a Moabitess? Jesus Christ took a Gentile bride. A Gentile bride that is going to be the queen of heaven. The Catholics have that all mixed up with Mary. She's part of the bride. But the bride is going to be the queen of heaven. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because you know Adam and Eve were co-equal in the Garden of Eden before the fall. They were co-equal. And if we're going back to Eden, we're going to be co-equal with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. A Gentile. A Gentile wife. So if the disciples would have loved to have seen this day. Once they got the Holy Ghost, they had an understanding. They would have loved to have seen this day. They would scream out, it's the same Jesus. It's this same Jesus. We see them preach, you know, after the upper room and things, as they were preaching, they say, this Jesus that you crucified, this same Jesus. This message is that same Jesus. Same work, same power. If Abraham was on the scene, he'd scream out, it's the one I met under that tree. Same one. He recognized them. And many times in life, there's hardships and stuff that come. But whenever you read the text there about Sarah, the Bible says that she was barren and unable to bear. So if you think about it, there's different, you know, sometimes, Brother Luis, we get to thinking things and you can see only things one way. But if we can only see things God's way, it's so much higher. So if Sarah had not been barren, then the whole story of Abraham wouldn't have happened like that. You think about it, how we see justification and sanctification, all that in the life of Abraham, and how God revealed himself to Abraham, how he came in his Melchizedek, and they had the bread and the wine there, and then he became in a body of flesh and discerned Sarah's thoughts. That would have never happened if Sarah was not barren. But because Sarah was barren, and throughout the process of time and trying and all that agony and frustration and this and that, God was then able to reveal himself to Abraham in a way that comes right down to our day. The very sign, the Messiah sign that we see now, God did to Abraham way back there, all because Sarah was barren. So God promised them a son, and God began to reveal himself and unfold himself. But yet, Sarah being barren at the time was such a frustrating thing. If Moses were on the scene, he would scream out, it's the I am from the burning bush who gave me my commission. It's the same God. If Paul was here, he'd say, it's the same pillar of fire that I met on the road to Damascus. Brother Brandon refers to this poem a lot. He says, must I be carried home to heaven on a flowery bed of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Yeah. No, I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Help me and support me by thy everlasting word. If our lives were perfect here in the natural and we just went to heaven on a flowery bed of ease and no problems, that would be unscriptural. That would be wrong. Something would be wrong. If we did not have problems in the natural, if we did not have friction and disappointments in this life, then something would be wrong. That is the way of a true Christian. He said in the Kinsman Redeemer, and preachers that'll tell you the Christian life is a flowery bed of ease, he either is deceiving you or he's never accepted that experience himself. The world hates you and the people will hate you. You've got to take the way of the Lord's despised view and be laughed at, made fun of, or anything else. You've got to be different because you're born of another nation. You've got to be. Young people, as you begin to enter into adulthood and get into life, you can expect friends or you can expect acquaintances to not want to be your friend because of how you dress or because of how you act or not understand, and to actually persecute you or even make fun of you, hurt your feelings, post bad things about you on social media, spread rumors about you. It doesn't matter. It's all part of paying the price. But this is so temporal. Everything here is so temporal. It will not last. In Hebrews 12, Paul speaking, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Alpha and Omega, he started it, he's going to finish it. He don't start it and you take yourself to the rapture. He's got it taken care of. He paid that price, as I spoke this morning. He paid the price, but yet there's a trail for you to take. There's a way that you've got to go. Who for the joy that was set before him? Think about that. Endured the cross. Who's the joy that was set before him? You. You are the joy that was set before him. So when he was looking at the cross, he had, as that song says, while he was on the cross, he had me on his mind. I was on his mind. So he was able to look through the cross and the agony and what he'd have to endure. He was able to look at the bride and see the called out. He was able to see the 144,000 because they need the cross. Amen. Just like we, the bride, need the cross. Amen. Remember, they got blinded, but they're going to come right back to this. To this same message, they're going to come right back to realize that Jesus actually was the Messiah. And our ancestors actually killed him and rejected him. They're going to come back to that realization. So the cross isn't just for the Gentiles. So the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, I looked at the New King James Version. It just reads just a little different. Maybe help you get a little better understanding of the last verse. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest ye become wearied and discouraged in your souls. Consider him. Consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners. Amen. And we're still able to say forgive them. Mm-hmm. Brother Bob and I were talking about forgiveness and things, you know, and forgiveness is not condoning or saying, yep, I approve of what that person did. Right. Forgiveness is a release for yourself. Amen. There's power in forgiveness. Right. A wrong deed is a wrong deed. It doesn't matter. Yep. But by forgiving, it releases you before the throne of God and keeps your prayers going up. It keeps it going. Because remember, Jesus said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father in heaven won't forgive you your trespasses. God forbid that our sins start stacking up against us because of a grudge or because of a wrong unforgiveness. It's very, very serious. So God was able to forgive his enemies. The love of God. He said the trouble of it is the church today is not like Samson. They're not willing to pay the price. Samson prayed right when he prayed, Lord, let me die with the enemy. He knew it was going to cost him something. And it was always at the end. It was at the end of his life. If he would have had that attitude his whole life, God could have gotten a whole lot more done. But he at least still came. And whenever he was ready to die with the enemy, he killed more Philistines at the time of his death than he did his in his entire life. And that there is a principle that when we fully surrender, God will get more accomplished with you and through you. When you fully surrender, then if you just kind of give a halfway surrender through life, you know, and you're just kind of going along, and yeah, God will be good to you. Yeah, you know, God's good. But the way to get God's full blessing is a full surrender. He knew it was going to cost him something. He knew it was going to cost something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. Your social prestige, your place and position in the denomination. Lord, let me die then. I see your purpose. He knew it was going to cost him something. You must be ready to die out. That's how you become born again. You've got to die to yourself first. Because if you're still alive, then he can't be living. He can't be king of your heart if you're still doing your own thing. You've got to die. And that's why so many people dodge the new birth, is because they don't want to die. Death is a very uncomfortable thing. We even read the quote, death is a very, very uncomfortable thing. And to get down, and it's very uncomfortable, and it's hard for the humanity. Let's be honest. It's hard for the human pride. It's hard for the humanity to say, I'm wrong. To be the one to go up to someone and say, actually, I'm sorry. To be the first one to say, I'm sorry. That takes a real Christian. And sometimes, you know, it can be whenever you're trying to come to the Lord and you're trusting him for the born again experience. You've got to be honest with him, because see, here's the good thing. God already knows. You're not hiding nothing from God. If you're holding back anything, well, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, if I surrender all, then I've got to let this relationship go. I've got to let this friendship go. I can't do this. I can't do that. God already knows that's what's holding you back. So really, you're not being honest with yourself. God already knows. He knows what's holding you back. So we have to be ready to die. To die. And then once you're ready to die, that's when there can be new birth. He knew it was going to cause something. You must be ready to die out to your enemy, to get in the blessings of God. Samson was willing to pay the price to get the power of God again upon him. He was willing to do it. Are you, Brother Branham asked. He said, regardless of the price, regardless of the cost, regardless of the criticism, how hard the cross is, I'll remember that cross you bore. So he quotes another poem. So this consecrated cross I'll bear until death shall set me free. Then go home, a crown to wear. There's a crown for me. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for every one of his sons. There's a cross for me. Amen. There's a price to pay. But it'll be worth it. As that beautiful hymn says, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. Just bravely run the race. Amen. When we see Christ. Oft times the days seem long. The days seem long. Our trials hard to bear. Put yourself in this song. We're tempted to complain. To murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear. To catch his bride away. Amen. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. He's got a beautiful city waiting for you. He's got it all ready. You should read that in Revelation 21 when you go home of that great city that John was allowed to see. And Brother Wade, you mentioned that y'all are studying the future home. So y'all are all into all that. The beautiful city. God is a great architect, and he knows just what his little lady likes. He knows exactly what his little lady likes. He knows, you know, he knows better what you like than you even know. But, you know, one, you know, Brother Branham, he had to deal with a lot of things, as I said, and he got into some spots where he kind of developed complexes. He was a man. You know, I've heard it say people won't let Brother Branham be a man. Or they won't let him be a prophet. Yeah. Let him be a man. But don't see so much man you can't see God. But he was a man. And he got complexes because he'd preach the word year after year after year. And preach the word and God, where the pillar of fire would come down. And y'all all listened to tapes and y'all all know how that went. God would vindicate this message of truth every single time. But he began to get a complex about people not listening. Yet he came back year after year. And he'd see more bobbed-haired women and more women in pants. And people weren't listening. And more, you know, Trinitarian preachers promising him when they couldn't wiggle out of baptism in Jesus' name, the truth. They'd promise him, we'll all come and be baptized. Not one showed up because of the influence. They weren't willing to pay the cost. They weren't willing. So he developed a complex, you know, and y'all know the story there. And then he was walking through, I believe it was Oral Roberts' deal there in Oklahoma. And he was like, Lord, he felt so sorry for himself. He was a man. You know, his office was at the end of a double wide, and he was just embarrassed. All he had was a typewriter. And here he started on the field about the same time or before. And God did way more in his ministry, way supernatural. And he got feeling so ashamed of himself. He's like, Lord, I'd just be so embarrassed if they came. I guess you know, he got feeling just down. And I guess you just couldn't trust me with that kind of money and this and that. And then God told him to look up. God told him to look up. And then he said, that's good enough for me. And he was preaching one time, and at the end, you remember Danny Henry came and put his arm around him and said, Brother Branham, he said, I hope this don't sound sacrilegious, but as far as I'm concerned, that could have been the 23rd chapter of Revelation. And when he said the right thing, the Spirit of God fell and spoke in tongues and everything, and the interpretation came forth. And I want to read that to you. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way. Thou hast walked in your own choosing. See, just like with Abraham, whenever the New Testament comes, said Abraham staggered not. Brother Abraham, God don't bring up whenever he was in Africa and listened to preachers and made mistakes. He didn't bring up all his mistakes. God told him, because you've chosen the narrow path, the harder way, thou hast walked in your own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision, and it is my way. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven will await thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and will come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. I believe with all my heart, this wasn't just for Brother Branham, but it also even applies to the bride. She's chose the harder way. She's chose to be mocked and made fun of and everything else. And I believe that a huge portion of heaven awaits us. Amen. And I'm not just talking about in some kind of carnal way, like just the bigger the prop and all that. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the presence of God. Because we know that heaven consists of the Word. And I believe with all my heart, when Brother Branham was translated and he's seen all them people coming to him and my precious brother, I believe our theophanies were there. I believe that he's seen us there. He might not have recognized us, but I believe we were in that group because here we are resting on him preaching what Paul preached. Praise the Lord. God is so good. There's a price to pay, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it after all. In closing, I'd like to read this little hymn to you. It goes like this. Lord, I have started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I obey the world and its follies adieu. I've started in with Jesus, and I'm going through. Amen. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I'm going through, Jesus. I'm going through. Many they are who start in the race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go through. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone and have for a pillow like Jacob a stone, living each moment with his face in view, than shrink from our pathway and fail to go through. We can go ahead and stand. Yeah. Oh, brother, now will you take up the cross? Give up this world and count it as dross. Amen. Sell all thou hast and give to the poor. Then go through with Jesus and those who endure. Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes all these things possible? May I just encourage you in the name of the Lord to not give up. May I encourage you in the name of the Lord, despite any kind of obstacles that you may be facing, any kind of ridicule, any kind of persecution, anything, don't ever back down from your standards. Don't ever back down from this truth. Because Satan is an evil taskmaster. But we are love servants of Jesus Christ. We are sons and we're daughters of Jesus Christ. You know, Satan has slaves. God has sons and daughters. God has family that love him. Satan will beat you, use you, abuse you, and be done with you. And look for the next one to. He is evil. Don't even consider his ways. Don't even hear, because he's got many voices. There's many voices that call for our attention today. But we must yield entirely and totally to this word, and it will carry us. It will carry us, bride of Jesus Christ, all the way into glory. And every trial, every tear that you shed, every prayer that you prayed for every lost loved one or every sickness, it will all be worth it when we see Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, Lord, for this opportunity again, Lord, to speak to your saints. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our hope of the resurrection, Lord, and we know that it's so, Lord, it's just how it just excites our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we know it so soon. We love you with all of our hearts, Lord. We just ask your blessings, Lord, upon this church in a special way. Father, I just pray that may something have been said today, Lord, that would strengthen, Lord, maybe give your church, Lord, your bride and this portion of the world, Father, Lord, a little boost. And Father God, we just ask that you bless the leaders of the church, Lord, and all the ministers and the songs and the musicians and even all the laity, Lord. Everybody has got such an important part to play, Lord. Even an amen, pulling on the word, even worshiping you and bringing down the presence of the Lord will make such an impact on the service. And we just love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. We ask your blessings, Lord, upon the remainder of the day. I just pray that you bless with each one. May your peace go with them. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all things. Thank you for this word and this truth. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. I'll turn the service back to Brother Wade.
Words of encouragement. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Can you say that? I'll pay the price whatever others do. We're gonna read the same scriptures Wednesday night. We're gonna talk about the same thing Wednesday night. Because going up that statue of perfect man is not easy. It's a cross you got to bear. I like that song. Take up your cross. Your cross. Jesus had a cross. But you've got a cross. He didn't say unless you take up my cross. He said unless you take up your cross. So you got a cross to bear. You know what? It's worth it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth it. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. All that my YouTube channel is getting 50,000 views. I must be... No, that just means people are dumb. They're just dumb. People dumb that sit there and watch all that stuff. And we sometimes sit there and watch some of it ourselves. Watch this sports show or this, you know, something, you know, and... See somebody, last night I was watching somebody shoot a bear for about 15 minutes. I was watching, you know, shoot a world record bear, and I thought, what a waste of time. I'd never go bear hunting. Let's sing a song. We waste a lot of time that we need to be studying the Word of God. Amen. And it's a journey. And it is a trial and tribulation. It takes you away from the world. Don't try to be strange. You're going to be strange if you're born again. Jesus was strange to the world. He was God Almighty in human flesh, but to the world and to the religious world, he was Beelzebub, a wine bibber, hung around sinners. They never gave him the right name he's supposed to have. The devil is the only one that gave him the right name. When the devil came up to him, he said, "Thou, Son of God, why are you come here to, you know, torment me before my time?" And then the religious world called him a devil. So let's sing a song.
That's just this way.
That's just his way. You have a need.
Of telling me he loves me.
He told you just today. In those two sermons, he told you how much he loved you. Words can't compare, but we try to put it in words so that God will let us know how much he cares for us. This world is not our home. Well, I've been talking about renewing of your mind. You're going to have to renew your mind. Make your mind think about something different besides the world.
The more I tried, the better he can mold me.
That's the potter. He's the only one who knows how to rub that clay right to make the right vessel.
That it will fit his perfect will. That's just his way of telling me he loves me.
Yes.
It's a love beyond all human understanding.
To me to drive us to our knees. Amen.
Trials
this world. He did not have to do that. He did not have to do that. We'll talk a little about it Wednesday night. He had to come through the matrix. He had to come through the womb.
Right.
Because when he come through the womb, it made him human. Because how would a God, I was thinking about while you're preaching, how would a God that's standing in eternity never hurt, never had an agonizing day, never had a headache, never had a trial, his bones didn't hurt him and he was eternal. How could he in his human mind transfer himself down and know that he was going to have to go through the most horrible thing? Because he'd already seen it. It was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so he knew what he was going to have to go through. And to take his eternal mind and say, I'm going to transfer that and go do that. He had to go into human flesh. That way he couldn't get back without dying. Whoa, what a revelation. He couldn't get back without dying. But he made that choice to create the egg and the sperm just to get us, like Brother William was talking, just to get a bride. His whole mindset, eternal mind, totally unlimited. He said, if I go through that womb, I'm going to be a human. And I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have trials and tribulations. I can't reverse the process. Now, he could when he was Melchizedek. Because he could just transfer in and out. But when he said, I'm going to save that group of people, I got to go get into human flesh. I can't go back the other way. Once I make that commitment. Thank God he made that commitment. Thank God he decided to become a human and not be able to say, like you said this morning, he didn't come to Garden of Gethsemane and say, oh, well, no, I'm not going to do that. No, he had to do that. That was the desire. You know why? Because we were inside of him. Because we were inside of him, he had to do that. He said, not my will. You know what? This way I say, it's not my will, but thy will. I had to have somebody die for me. I had to have a redeemer. So not my will, but thy will be done. The will of the Father was that you as children, as bride of Jesus Christ, he had to die to get us out. And he knew when he went in human flesh, he was going to have to die. Now he might not have known when he was a little kid, but he did come to a realization that he was going to have to die. Because he had the mind of God. So that's why that you and I have to come to the renewing of our mind, that we had to come through a matrix. Lost, though. Trapped, as Brother Brown said, trapped into it. But then we had one that already done it for us. So we could come to that. And then take up your cross and follow Jesus. Let's sing that before we go. Take up your cross. Say that.